Are modern humans the brainiest people who ever lived? Oh, look at our technology. We've got laptops. We've got all these sort of gizmos. We've got radio telescopes. We can peer into the universe to see how we got here and try and figure out, you know, did we come from hydrogen? We're so smart, we can make this equipment. Well, there is a modern human skull. Of course, it's a demonstration skull, so you can actually look inside, and there's where your brain used to be that we pride ourselves on, because we've obviously got bigger brains than chimpanzees and they've got no laptops. Modern-day humans' average cranial capacity is, you know, 1.35 litres, 1,350 mils, and you can see the measurement on our measuring jar behind there. So let me take you to a Cro-Magnon skull. You wonder where names like that come from? It means great hole, largely because it was first found in a big hole. And do you see this caveman here painting this artwork? I love to remind people that when you look at Cro-Magnon, who is normally called a caveman and regarded as primitive, all we need to prove that he wasn't is to get some art students from Edinburgh University to take their palettes into these caves and try to make copies of those beautiful three-dimensional buffaloes. Do you realise most 21st century technocrats can't even draw an accurate stick figure of their cat? It's true. This is not primitive art. That's brilliant. Okay. Cro-Magnon's cranial capacity was 1,600 mils. That's more than yours and mine. Might change perspective on a few things. And of course, somewhere between him and us, you have dear old Neanderthal, who used to be on display in the Naturalist Museum, as sort of half ape and half man. Neanderthal, by the way, originally known from his skull and from some bones found in the Neander Valley in Germany. Do you recognise this name at all? Joachim Neander is a poet, or was a poet, and his most famous bit of poetry is "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation." I'm not surprised Jesus said you'd be judged by the words out of your own mouth, because this Neanderthal is old German for the Valley of Mr. Neander, and Neander was a creationist. When you look at Neanderthal, he had a brain capacity of 1,450 mils. Just little bits of data that are not actually reported in the high school textbooks, because when you put them side by side, he had much bigger brains than him, who had much bigger brains than him. Capacity, anyway. You see, if you go to our new web museum, you can get all these pictures from there, and there is a definite descent in brain capacity, which may add a different perspective as to why we are using laptops today. You see, we're running out of brain on the inside, and we need another one on the outside. Oh, I know that hasn't occurred to you, but you see, it should have, because God came to Noah, you know, the guy that was the last to live over 900, and he said, "Hey, Noah, I want you to build an ocean liner." And Noah said, "Okay," and did it. And the only instructions, this long, that wide, that high, one window, one door, go for it. Question, how many trial runs did Noah have recorded where he loaded up all the animals and floated it to see if it would work? How many lifeboats did he put on just in case it didn't? Isn't that an interesting story? In other words, the guy hadn't been to boat school. Never seen an ocean liner in his life, goes for it, builds it, creative. All right, let me give you a different perspective on technology. Most of what our present day technology is an attempt to dig us out of the hole that sin has got into. You see, in the Garden of Eden, do you think Adam needed bed socks because it was so cold? Or did we need to invent air conditioning because of global warming in the Garden of Eden? No way. You see, it's only after the world begins to degenerate that any of these issues need a technological solution. He didn't need barns. He didn't need to worry about the rat burrowing in to steal his corn and leaving those little black parcels behind that would in the end get into his gut, which would make him sick. He didn't need to worry about that. Well, you and I have still got brains. And the interesting thing is your Bible says we're made in God's image, And God challenges his people. Remember when he came to the people of Israel and said, come now and let us reason together. Think this through. Or the New Testament says, if anybody asks you a question about what you believe, have a reason for what your hope is that lies within you and give it to them gently and meekly. I'll be honest, I have trouble with that last bit. Some of the questions I get asked, I just feel like saying, you moron, can't you see that's astute? I've actually been asked that question 10,000 times before, but you know, the fact is the Bible tells us to use our brains and to reason about it. So here's a couple of challenges. There's lots of other factors we could have discussed that we haven't yet. We've sort of looked a bit at climatic stress, but if your food drops, your lifespan drops. Come with me to places like Vietnam and that, where their protein diet is much lower than us. They're tinier, right? They don't live as long. Genetic mutations, the increasing number of mutations, your lifespan drops. Inbreeding does it too. Think carefully. After Adam, who was created perfect, you find we go to Noah. All the world is now reduced to one family. And then they're split up into three subfamilies, and we've all bred from those three separate groups. That's inbreeding if you want to look at anything.